Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm joined by Jack at Jack Not John and Vic at VWeb. And today we're going to be talking about Antonio Clown. What a clown that guy is. Some college football week four. And really, that's all we're talking about. And maybe a little bit of baseball. Should we talk about some baseball, boys?
You know what? I did a little prep today, so I could talk Cubbies. So yeah. We'll throw in a little baseball.
We'll talk some baseballs. We'll talk some baseball, especially because nearing the end of September, playoff baseball right around the corner. But beginning with Antonio Brown announcing that he will not play in the NFL anymore. Thank God. But quickly, just I would like to read a quick tweet from him. Will not be playing in the NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals, do to whatever they want anytime. We'll see if the NFL Players Association holds them accountable. Sad they can just void guarantees anytime, going on $40 million 2 months. We'll see if they pay up. First question, will Antonio Brown ever play in the NFL again?
I'll take this. I just think he's waiting for the right call. I think this whole drama has to simmer a little bit, you know, let things calm, let Antonio Brown like take a break for a week or two. And I think just like I think with Gronk, I think later in the year, he'll get a call maybe from a team on the fringe of the playoffs and he'll come back because he really is a top three wide receiver. I do think something's wrong mentally, but I think the timing right now, he's not going to get picked up. Anytime, especially after this tweet going off on the owners, nobody's going to try and get in business with this guy, get in bed with this guy.
At what point is he too much of a crackhead for somebody to pick him up? Because he's such a liability. I don't know if everybody knows this. I'm assuming you guys do, but he literally group chatted his accusers, threatening them because they came out. Is he not aware that you can screenshot texts?
Yeah,
you're on the Patriots.
And wasn't
you're
that,
being paid?
Wasn't
like,
that,
what,
wasn't
what
is that the group point? Text like the second accuser who they said they weren't going to pursue anything about? Like it was totally put to bed. If I'm not mistaken,
I think she wasn't could be bringing wrong. A suit.
It was the second girl after the trainer that brought a story. I think that's the group chat. It's like it was done. Like what are you reviving back to life that you should have immediately put away? Even if it wasn't the accuser who her charges got dismissed, like. I'm confused. Like I know you say crackhead, hothead. I think there's just always a difference.
Yeah, sorry. He doesn't actually smoke.
No,
crack.
No, no, no. I know.
What
you
know
meant.
That we know of.
But you know, it's. I think he will play. I don't understand. It's tough for coaches and players in the locker room to get on board with someone like this coming in. You know, and I was sort of thinking of examples like this where guys you thought weren't really going to play. I mean, look at Josh Gordon. Like it looked like he was never going to get back on the right track. With all the marijuana incidents, and you know, here he is now and playing for the Pats. I don't think this is you can compare this to Ray Rice. I think this is sort of in its own league. I don't really,
but it seems like it's consecutive weeks, consecutive teams, new stories. First, it was the helmet. It's not like just the Josh Gordon weed thing, or while the Ray Rice thing is absolutely terrible, you know, in and of itself. It's the sexual assault with Antonio Brown, the helmet with Antonio Brown, the cryotherapy with Antonio Brown, Mike Mayock, the comments,
it's
the cracker.
It's literally a novel is what it is. It's a novel. The movie, you don't even write the script right now because leave some pages for the end because I don't even
buy the
know
rights to that.
What's coming next. I'm almost afraid.
That being said, he has a signing bonus from the Patriots, which at least...
What was it, like $150,000 or something?
No, signing bonus was $9
million. $9
million. Does he get that?
Which understood to me... It is you sign a contract, you play a game, he signed, you're entitled to the $9 million, and currently he's not being paid. So this is also on the league, and like he's owed money. He's owed a lot of money. That's what the original tweet was. Yes, he has serious mental issues. There's something wrong with him that he can't just get his act together and play, but he's entitled to his money, right?
I haven't read the contract, but I have to imagine there is some condition. Like, yeah, signing, it's conditioned on you signing, but also if your
like
contract is then void a week later and, you know, this isn't even conduct detrimental to the team anymore. This guy is just being accused of horrific things and he can't be employed. Like, this was kind of my call. I was obviously a little quick with my comments a couple weeks ago where I said I think the Patriots will cut him and not play him. But, like, now a second accuser, look at what he's saying, too. And to your question, you said, when does it hit the point where he will not be hired by a team? I think, obviously, his agent wants money, but I think when Drew Rosenhaus steps away from Antonio Brown and is like, he's not taking my, because at a point this rubs off on Drew Rosenhaus. We're like, where is he getting this advice from? Because Drew Rosenhaus, you know, the best NFL agent in the world is not telling him, oh, that's a great tweet. So right now he's deviating from his advice, from his advisors. I think he's reached that point where enough is enough. Once these trusted advisors, these advisors that are world renowned, Drew Rosenhaus and the rest of his team, once they part ways with Antonio Brown, I think the organizations will be like, this guy's just, you know, it's a downward spiral for Antonio Brown.
It could be a crazy hot take that I'll regret. I don't think Antonio Brown will ever play in the NFL again.
I don't think it's a
because
hot
of thing. What he did today. Because he tweeted today a screenshot of Ben Roethlisberger bringing up his sexual assault, and because he tweeted today a picture of Robert Kraft mentioning his issues with the massage parlor. You can't burn bridges like this and expect to ever get jobs again. That is, we've never spoken about it on this show, but the biggest problem with Colin Kaepernick is that Colin Kaepernick became a story that people just don't want to touch. It has nothing to do with talent. Colin Kaepernick should be on the field because he is more talented than a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's not because of the story behind him. And Antonio Brown, not only does he have a horrible track record of coming in and really just shitting all over everything and turning everything into a huge problem, but now, if you have skeletons, he's going to bring them out. He's such a liability with his personal social media that what is a team supposed to do? So I can't see a world, if you now burned a bridge with Robert Kraft, you burnt a bridge with the Patriots, they are known for being the second chance organization, who is going to take you?
As sad as, you know, it's funny, I'm thinking, you know, why don't the Jets go after this guy? After the whole incident with the Raiders, and you sort of knew the Patriots were charging along. You could already hear the footsteps as he was getting on that plane out of Oakland to go wherever. Nobody knew where he was going. A lot of people just thought, okay, it's going to be the Pats. You know, I'm thinking, like, why don't the Jets go out and get this guy? And I'm starting to think again, like, why don't they go and get him? But now you sort of have to pump the brakes. And there are teams out there that need wide receivers. People would kill for a talent like this. I don't know how many times can we say it. 7 straight seasons with 100 catches. It's I don't even know if that's ever been done before. This guy could have broken every single freaking record that's out there. You know, it's tough to catch Jerry Rice, but this guy could have been close if he just stayed on the field. I like to think somebody out there is thinking, well, what can we do? Is there anything a team can do?
Everyone is. Everyone is,
like,
I think.
What could you do to get this guy in the locker room and to tone it down tremendously?
Dude, if Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft and Tom Brady can't do it, I don't think it's possible. And Ben makes a really good point. He's burned bridges now with, like,
everybody.
With the mightiest, with Robert Kraft. I mean, you don't just do this. Also, going after your quarterback, dude, why do you have to post that? It's just like, and back to the agent thing, Drew Rosenhaus doesn't want to be tied to a guy who's burning bridges because he's got clients on these teams. He's got clients playing for the Pats. He's got clients with the Steelers. It makes me think, remember the video that Antonio Brown posted a couple years ago in the locker room? And we're all like, it was inadvertent, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with this guy? It makes me think that was totally intentional.
And now makes me think, where were the red flags then?
Exactly. But we all said, oh, it was by accident. Like he was just filming a selfie. I mean, now I'm looking back, I'm like, this guy was out to do some harm. He was out to throw Tomlin under the bus. He's never... This guy's out for blood, and I just think something's going wrong in his head, and he needs more than, you know... He doesn't need an NFL contract. He needs a doctor.
Who's his PR team? Do we have any idea? Because somebody should be saying to him, put down your phone. That's one. Like, he shouldn't have a phone at this point.
It sounds an awful lot like someone else we know who can't stop tweeting horrible things. And you'd think, where's the PR team? Where's the PR team? I'm not going to say his name.
Nice,
but, you know, it's kind of funny.
Voldemort.
It can get to that. I wonder that also. Like, what? Is there just literally a phone there? And it's like, oh, I got to pick it up. Like someone who, like, can't have sugar. It's like, I got to have that donut. Like, you want that donut, don't you? You want to send out that tweet.
By the way, he's always been, like, from the moment he got that scholarship from Central Michigan after being a walk-on, became the star, no one has ever told him no. So right now, you know, the last 12 years of his life, he's been, you know, number one always. And he's been the star in any room he walks into. He's not listening to the PR team. That's clearly what's happening because no PR team. It's like, you should tweet something to about, like,
there has to be.
Delete your Twitter, delete your Instagram. The coolest thing he's done is that video that John Gruden approved of. That was cool. We all thought, wow, something's going to happen. And it's just spiraled once again out of control. Put the phone down, dude. Maybe he doesn't want to go to the CFL. Maybe get some reps with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, give Johnny a call.
I hope that this is the last time we talk about Antonio Brown this year, because I am kind of sick of talking about it. I'm sure that it's not. Yeah. I was listening to NFL Live today, and I wish that I remembered who she was who mentioned this statement, and I'll look it up later. But she said that Antonio Brown... I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought.
Yeah, no, keep going.
No, it's that she said that at this point... we should have seen red flags previously, and we should stop talking about Antonio Brown altogether. I know that was a jumbled statement, but she just said, like,
no, it's not. But are we just feeding into it? Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
It's kind of like terrorism. I hate to equate it to that, but like, you being afraid of terrorism is just feeding into terrorism. Maybe
I was actually going to say it's like bees. Like, if you ignore the bees, they will eventually fly away. they will eventually fly away. And I know a thing or two about this. I was able to have a whole breakfast on Saturday.
I saw
three bees. There was one on the bagel with schmear and lox. It was like on the edge, took a bite in the front, and then I pick up a piece of bacon, and like it's just like it was literally on it, and then it sailed away.
Dude, but I'm
like,
not
eventually
even,
if you ignore them, they will fly.
I'm not even kidding. I stepped out of like my little sick slumber that I was in yesterday, grabbed like a quick bite, and I was hounded by bees. Only me at my table.
Swearing.
Hounded by bees. I actually caught one in a glass cup, and I handed it to the waiter. And he gave me the look like, what the fuck am I going to do with this
fucking
bee?
Have you seen Bee Movie?
I have seen it with Jerry.
It's very important. The bees are very important.
They are. We need the nectar.
We need the bees.
We need the bees. I didn't tell him, hey, go kill it. I just said, here, man, like, if you don't mind taking the bee away from me. Yes, there were seven others, like, in my mouth, but it is what it is. Bees.
And thank you guys for that tangent, because I finally remember what I was trying to say, which is that Antonio Brown, she said, has not one time been reprimanded, and that is the problem. No matter where he went, no matter what he did, everybody overlooked that this guy is fucking up the organization.
So it's
he went to the Raiders. He had all these problems, and everybody's just like, tiptoeing around him, like, ooh, we don't want to upset him with the helmet. Ooh, we don't want to upset him with the cryotherapy. Ooh, we don't want to
He upset himself with the cryotherapy.
No, but I'm saying there was no consequence for any of his actions anywhere, and that is why we've come to the place where we are.
Was it Wendy Nix?
Yes, thank you.
It was, right?
Yes, it was Wendy Nix on the story.
Wendy Nix.
Shout out Wendy Nix.
Enough of AB. Yeah, let's jump to happened yesterday. College football, baby.
Week four, Heisman watch. Who made a statement in week four?
You're looking at me. You're giving me those sexy eyes, that look. So I'm going to take this.
Any player who made a statement?
Yeah, no. I'm going to go with John Taylor. I remember the first, I think it was week zero, I mentioned John Taylor, the running back for Wisco. I think yesterday was just a huge statement day for the state of Wisconsin. They proved that they drink harder, they party harder, and they hit harder than Michigan. And Jonathan Taylor, 23 rushes, 203 yards, two scores. The guy was an absolute beast, and he even sat out a lot of the game. I mean, he got a little hurt. I heard it was cramps. He went under the hood for a bit. I mean, this guy could have run for 300 against that Michigan defense. It was nowhere. I think he's just climbing that Heisman board. This Wisco team is a force. We've spoken about it. They've always been really good on defense. But Jack Cohn, that quarterback under center, he brings a new dynamic to this team that Alex Hornibrook never did. I'm really excited for this team. John Taylor, run, man. That kid's got some wheels. I'm really excited. He made a statement.
Yeah, no, I can't get enough of that guy. And that 72-yard scamper to the house, I mean, that really sort of threw them above. And look, Wisconsin will ride this guy all the way. And that's really sort of how you get in the forefront of a Heisman watch, how far you take your team. And someone who's doing that better than anybody else right now is Joe Burrow. And Jack has really got me high on this guy from LSU. It was I don't know if this their first SEC game so far against Vanderbilt? It might have been, but it didn't even matter because they were able
hardly
to...
Hardly SEC.
Right. Well, you know...
Give
the Commodores just a bit of credit. You know, we love our people down in Nashville. Great city.
Dude, Burrow had...
Apparently not good college football team.
Dude, Burrow had 300 yards in the first half.
Right. And this is against... Look, it is
over
an SEC.
100 points,
dude, but this is better than a couple of the teams they have been playing. And, You know, it's their third, they're the fourth SEC team to ever have three games in a row with 65 plus points. You know, that comes your quarterback play. You follow this guy. He's leading them, putting the ball in the right places.
It's unbelievable.
Look, it wasn't some slack. You know, Alabama did play Southern Miss this week, but, you know, LSU, and it was on the road in Vanderbilt. I think you just got to give a bit more credit to that performance than just, you know, worst team in the SEC. So for me right now, Joe Burrow, look out. We always say SEC is slugfest, puts it lightly when you start getting into those games. And, you know, if he can keep doing magical things like this, I don't know what's going to slow him down.
It's definitely a combo because I know that the question was Heisman watch, who made a statement in week four. I just have to say, in general, who made a statement in week four and hoping that he'll win the Heisman, even though he probably won't, because it's Oregon. I've been talking about Oregon every fucking week. Well,
do you own property in Eugene, Oregon?
What's going on?
Well, Herbert again went into Stanford and won 21-6.
Stanford stinks.
I know, but you held a Pac-12 team to 6 points and 200 yards. You don't think that this team is unbelievable?
I think they're really good. I think the loss against Auburn is now turning out not to be that bad. Bo Nix went in the College Station yesterday and beat the crap out of Texas A&M. So I don't think it's a – and they lost on a final play, a Hail Mary. So I don't think this team has any flaws yet in the resume, but I think you got to pump the brakes on the win over Stanford. Just because you have Tiger Woods on your sidelines doesn't make you a good football player.
I just think that their defense is not a normal Pac-12 defense, and they look really great, but I guess I should answer the regular question.
Yeah,
Heisenreich should probably be Tua or Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow looked unbelievable. LSU's offense looked unbelievable. Vic already gave all the stats, but Tua, Alabama is obviously not going to lose, or I don't know, when are they playing Georgia?
By the way, it's so annoying.
They don't play Georgia. They will. I mean, look, they're going to run in LSU. They're going to run in Auburn. These are the games down the road we're going to dive very deep into, and that's sort of, you know, you just mentioned Bo Nix. That's another SEC quarterback could really be in the mix here, not to get a little rhymy, but, you know, there are guys like that, and it's really tough. Like, Tua Tagovailoa has been doing this every single week. It's 4 touchdowns. It's 5 touchdowns.
Say that 3 times.
Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa.
Very nice.
Hey, hell yeah.
And, you know, you also got to think about Justin Fields. Look, I know they played Miami of Ohio. Ohio State did, and, you know, he put up 76 points. It's tough to always give so much credit to these unbelievable performances that feel like video game performances. And I just think all these stats, they'll contribute to the overall umbrella of, you know, your sort of, instead of umbrella, I should have really said portfolio, your Heisman portfolio you put together week in, week out, who your, you know, completion percentage, how you're avoiding turnovers. And these guys are doing it against the teams they're supposed to be doing it. I think, again, you know, we'll gain more clarity as this season goes on, and that's why it's so much fun in my eyes to have this Heisman watch always be a topic, because you never know what great performance you're getting next.
We spoke for a minute about, because of Jonathan Taylor, about that Wisco Michigan game, but I want to open the floor quickly if we want to comment at all on it, because Wisco absolutely took a massive dump on the faces of Michigan fans. And we know a couple of Michigan fans that went down from New York specifically to watch that game. And my God, was that money.
By the way,
down
I was all Badger red yesterday.
So was I.
I mean, I love this team. And
coincidentally, Ben, we were both wearing Navy when the game was going on.
Nice.
So it felt like we were in for Michigan, but we were on the Wisco train.
By the way, there was no chance.
We said it about a week ago.
We said take the double spread.
A week ago.
And there was
week
no ago. Chance. God, we really should be betting what we're picking.
100%. I hope there's somebody out there who's just aching for
it. We even said, we're like, why is this spread? It feels like it could be 6.5. And to be honest, the score did not show it.
No,
I know it was
35-20,
but it was 21-0 in a hurry. Didn't it get to 28? Did it get to 28-0?
Yeah, right before the half.
It got to 28-0. I mean, and look, Wisconsin, you take your foot off the gas pedal just a little. You can't keep running Taylor out there every time. I mean, touched the ball over 20 times in the college game. That is a big deal.
But
running
he was also
backs
hurt.
Usually make all their yards on big, big plays, and they have 15, 18 touches. But, dude, they're feeding the ball, and they're feeding him a ton. Michigan, yeah, we said it. Jim Harbaugh, can you hear us in Ann Arbor? Pick up the phone. Tell us what's going on. How many seasons? Big games?
They're hard to root
I need to know his record in big games.
They're hard to root. I know you rip on me and my Miami Hurricanes, but this Michigan team is not easy to root for.
And it's fun. They gave him a lifetime contract. So good luck, Michigan fans. It doesn't seem like anything's changing anytime soon.
I wonder if that means his khaki guy also stays there throughout. Because I did, but that khaki guy's got to be on the hot seat. Because I saw a video this week where Harbaugh gave him the hard shrug, the nah. He just went, no, wrong shade of khaki. So I think you got to get a new khaki guy in there.
And speaking of khaki guys, the guy, the coach of Colorado needs a khaki guy because if you haven't noticed, that guy wears exclusively black shorts.
Really?
Yes. The Colorado-Arizona State game, unbelievable game, but that coach wears exclusively black shorts. Have you ever seen a coach wear shorts?
Could you blame him, though? He's from Colorado and they go into the desert.
No, but he
wouldn't you wear shorts?
He wears shorts in Colorado.
I'm sitting here, 90-degree weather, wearing pants. Okay.
I would be wearing shorts, but he wears shorts in Colorado.
Fantastic.
He wears shorts all the time.
Football guy. He's got strong calves.
I'm just saying. Oh.
Strong calves.
Does he have strong calves? Vic, that coach? Remember his legs?
I just want to know if they're implants or not, because those things do not look real.
We need to get an implant.
We're talking tree trunk status.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Do we think that avocado... do we think that Colorado is for real?
Yeah,
that was a serious win, but do we think that they're for real or that Arizona State just sort of fell off for a game?
I'll be brief with this one. I still think Arizona State is very legit, but last week I alluded to the Colorado scoring, and I thought maybe it would just be a little difficult for them to play their first game outside of the state of Colorado. They proved me wrong. I think both of these teams are legit, and the Pac-12's really good. I mean, all of a sudden, like, you really blink, good. One year they're like ass, and now they've got a couple contenders. I wouldn't be shocked if they get a team in the playoffs.
This wasn't as surprising. I mean, we were all very high off the Arizona State going into Michigan State, big win, non-conference play. I wouldn't say this would be sort of my most surprising win of the week. I do. It's really tough to ignore that absurd UCLA 32-point comeback.
Jesus Christ.
And I'll let you guys go on that in a second. But, you know, Colorado, we spoke of this. We didn't really know when they beat Nebraska. Like, was Nebraska good? Was Nebraska not good? So I don't know if this is maybe we're too high on Arizona State too quickly. Or, like, yeah, maybe Colorado is a good, solid team that needs to be respected. And they were 14-point dogs for this game. So... I mean, let's not talk about that absurd comeback by UCLA. I mean, that was an absolute onslaught. It went into ended up being a shootout, which looked like a blowout dud in the third quarter.
They were down 32 points with 6 minutes to go
in the third quarter. They had 50 points in the second half.
And they were 0-3 coming into this game. Like, we even said, like, this team's horrible.
Chip Kelly,
forget about it. Like, they're in the dust.
Is it Chip Kelly or that? I mean... I saw an absolute collapse by a Washington State team that let up a kick return touchdown, a punt return touchdown, a 90-yard touchdown. They just could not tackle.
Fumbles.
Did not seem to want to tackle. And if you were live betting that game, you could have gotten them at 40, 38, 37, 30. Oh, I mean, it's just, and I can't even imagine.
The live odds are probably, I don't even think they would have offered it to you because it's probably plus a million.
I can't even imagine.
I think a team like Wazoo, one of the teams you've actually been
ranked.
Part of the Pac-12 that plays defense. It was sort of them, Washington, and Oregon leading this defensive charge over the last couple of years.
And Arizona State.
You know, we can't stop talking about Gardner Minshew, Luke Falk, so much Washington State Cougar pride on the line this weekend.
Yeah, good call.
And maybe it got to their head, and they're thinking, well, you know, I could probably be in the NFL one day if someone takes an injury. And all of a sudden, we're losing.
And in front of the great Gardner Minshew. I mean, he was in the crowd.
He was in shorts. By the way, talk about shorts. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I do have to bring up Anthony Gordon, the quarterback on Washington State, his stat line. I mean, the guy threw it, let alone, like, the stats, he threw it 61 times. I mean, your arm's got to fall off at that point. For 570 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. I mean, that could be, like, 3 games in one. I mean, that is a day of work for Anthony Gordon.
I know that Chip Kelly is an offensive mastermind. Can he not try and play any defense?
It's just
9 touchdowns?
Let him score and let's get that ball back and see if we could score an 8-pointer or a 9-pointer.
And it worked.
I mean, it was a really great game, and it did work. I do want to bring, you asked most surprising. We've been, and it really pains me to bring this up. You know I hate this team, but the Florida Gators really put the beat down on the Tennessee Vols, 34-3. Yeah, it was in the swamp, but before the season, Tennessee was a dangerous team. They've been dangerous the last couple of years, and I think that was a statement win in the swamp for Florida. You got Luke Trask, who we said we think he's better than Felipe Franks. I think he threw for
almost
300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, it's.
Look, they took care of business the way they should have taken care of business. Tennessee always has lofty expectations. I'm not really sure why. They recruit well. They're a name. You know, Peyton Manning went there decades ago. You know, they always have lofty expectations, mostly due to their fans. You know, it's a big stadium that I think its capacity is like 100,000. A good football tradition, But for me, it's, you know, Tennessee is not getting the respect, and they shouldn't be getting the respect. Yeah, I'm excited to see what Kyle Trask can do. And look, I keep saying it because I'm just so damn excited about it, but we are really about to get into the meat of this SEC schedule.
So
and we're so close, and that's where I'm excited to see Kyle Trask, a team that's already in the top 10, sitting at number 9, the Gators are right now. And, you know, let's see what this kid can do when you're thrown into the lion's den against the likes of Georgia.
Speaking of Georgia, Georgia this week was tested by a heavy underdog in Notre Dame, but pulled it out. Anybody here take Georgia?
No. Not,
No. Vic and
no,
I.
Yeah.
But we discussed.
We discussed it last week.
What did we say?
It was like 9.5, and Vic
yeah,
and I
at
went
that
Notre
point
Dame.
It was, yeah, at that point it was 10.5, I believe. Got all the way up,
it got up
15,
to 15.5.
Wow. People were putting, it seems like, their home equity lines of credit on the line for this game. I'm not sure what happened with the points. Everybody counted out the Irish. Ben and I were watching this intently because it was a great game. And Georgia really came alive. And then all of a sudden they fell apart. The defense, I don't know, what they sort of fell asleep. I'm not really sure how it broke down and got so close.
Oh, so Vic and I won.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, you guys took Notre Dame in the pick'em?
Yeah. With the spread, with the points.
So I got to be honest. If you watch this game, Georgia should have won this game.
I felt
handily.
I tuned out.
They should have crushed. They were in complete control. There was a muff punt. Notre Dame, that was their first 7 points. Then their last 7 points was on a end of the game.
And that
game's
first touchdown was on 4th and goal. They went for it.
It
looked like a lot of luck. And from the eye test, the gold helmets don't shake me that much anymore after Miami put the beat down a couple years ago. And looking at that Georgia sideline, they had a lot of big boys, much bigger boys than those Irishmen.
Did you see the stat that they have the heaviest offensive line in the history of the program?
By the way, that matters. I swear that matters. That's the scariest thing.
An average weight of their offensive line?
Do you know the number?
Yes.
354.
No. That's really heavy.
That's a bunch of fat boys.
Average?
That's a bunch of fat boys.
Average of 333.
By the way, I wasn't that off.
No, but...
That's fat.
An average weight over, what is it, 8 guys?
I'd love to see...
How many guys are on the O-line?
6.
On the O-line, you've 5.
5 guys, average weight.
And then you get like the tight end, double tight end sets, and what have you.
I wonder if that pulls into... In the tight end.
By the way,
the
Central
average.
Michigan had a 6'7" tight end and a 6'6" tight end.
Holy shit.
Look out for those guys.
Yeah, but they
day.
Covered the spread against my Canes.
Yeah, I'm really looking at the other SEC team, though, that really, I mean, you talk about impressive win. Bo Nix, Gus Malzahn, and the boys down in Auburn. My goodness, Tigers going to College Station, a raucous Texas A&M student crowd. It felt like they would have the home field advantage. They were even favored. Auburn, you know, they have not skipped a beat so far. We always revert back to that Oregon game. Making the case for Oregon, we always point out that it was Auburn that beat them in that first game in Dallas. This win spoke volumes for Bo Nix, someone who we weren't really sure. We weren't really sure if they were just playing, you know, not their best game. The Oregon game really came out of that final drive. He pulled it out of his ass. You could really go to those lengths. I just wonder how impressed you guys were by them being able to go in to Texas A&M, one of the toughest places to play, and it scores 28-20, but I believe there was a touchdown at the end. Auburn was really in cruise control from the beginning, and I don't know if that impressed you guys as much as it did me.
I was definitely impressed. I think Gus Malzahn is really playing ground and pound right now. That defense is looking stout. As you said, other than that late touchdown, it looked like Auburn was in control the entire time. Bo Nix only threw for 100 yards. But he did rush the ball 12 times. I think Auburn's about rushing the ball right now. 42 rushes, that's a ton. I mean, just ground and pound, feed the boy. Bo Nix still young, but I mean he's very impressive right now.
I'm incredibly impressed as well, just because they went into a tough place and won.
Again.
But pump the brakes on Texas A&M. I would have pumped the brakes before this game. They lost to Clemson. The final score makes it seem like that was a close game. 24-10, that Clemson game. It was not that close at all. And big whoop, they've beaten Texas State and Lamar.
But anytime you go to Texas A&M...
That's why I'm saying it is an impressive win. I'm just saying, in general, I think that Texas A&M...
is not that good.
No, and this is a far worse loss for them than it is a win for Auburn. I think.
Time will tell.
I think that this really drops them way down.
I like that you held your heart as you said All right.
I personally feel you got this. I personally feel that way. I think that was definitely the more impressive win. Who do you think is a bigger threat to Alabama, Auburn, or Georgia?
I'm just going to – Auburn is a bit of a leg up here because the last game of the season, it's the infamous Iron Bowl. Years and years of tradition between Alabama and Auburn. These two schools cannot stand each other, and this year the game is in Auburn. Little revenge factor there. Tide sort of embarrassed them last year. And just remember, it was just 2 years ago where Alabama went into Auburn and lost, and then Auburn was the one to make the SEC championship, played Georgia. Georgia got a second crack of revenge, beat Auburn there. And, you
Did
know,
you
the
say
story,
cracker or crack?
Crack, second okay. crack at them.
Okay.
That was the team with Sonny Michel.
Sonny.
Yeah, you
the
can't
Frenchman.
Forget that.
Michel. The Frenchman.
So that's why I think Auburn is the bigger threat, just because not only do they play them, because Georgia and there are two divisions in the SEC. You have a choice who to play. Georgia actually will play Auburn 2 weeks before that. This is in November. But, you know, that's why Auburn has the leg up. Of course, Georgia, once you're in that SEC championship, usually, you know, the story goes, whoever loses your conference championship, you're most likely not making the playoffs, except that year that Alabama did get in, ironically enough. So as much as I want to say it is Auburn, you know, Alabama is always going to find some way to squeeze into that college football playoff.
fellas, I think it's neither. And although they get this team at home, LSU, this offense is putting on an absolute show. You know, they...
Not exactly the question, but I agree.
No, you said one or the other. I'm saying it's neither of the two.
No, I'm saying I agree with you that LSU is the biggest threat, but I'm saying of these
why those two? Why can't I pick?
Because it's secret option number three.
All right, go
fine.
So I'm
broadening.
Door number three. Door number three. Door number one, you have Auburn.
I'm broadening the whole question. And Victor, if you want to change your answer, that's fine.
No.
Who is the biggest threat overall to Alabama?
I'm going LSU.
I'm sticking with
Auburn. Alabama gets LSU. What is this in early November?
Is
where?
It in Baton Rouge or is it in Tuscaloosa?
It's in Tuscaloosa, but it's the end of their 3-game homestand. I'm hoping they get a little tired. You know, they're like, we've beaten the shit out of all these teams at home. Like, here comes LSU.
Yeah,
LSU has like the most chips on. They've got a whole bag of chips on their shoulder. I mean, fuck, Coach O. That team is playing some offense, and I've never seen a Coach O team have this, and I love Joe Burrow. He's probably been the most impressive. Not, like, as we said, maybe not the Heisman right now, but he's definitely up there. He's been so impressive from his first year in LSU last year to now. This guy's taking leaps, and I'm really pumped for that
game.
All
right, Soph, who's your lucky pick in the SEC to take down the Tide?
I mean, I don't even think it's close. I think that LSU is the closest to Alabama. I think that if you need to score points to beat Alabama, and you need a defense that can stop them. The team that can score points is LSU. Who do I think is a better defense, LSU or Georgia? It's kind of a coin flip, but Joe Burrow in that offense looks way better than Fromm, who I think is fantastic. But Fromm only put up, 20 points at home
right.
to Notre Dame?
It was more on the legs of DeAndre Swift.
They need
2 feet a lot more.
Definitely. I can't really rely on Fromm.
And you know, Fromm's
I mean,
a senior at this
yeah,
point.
He's,
you got to give that
really
as a factor.
Smart. Like, they
he's
call
great.
Him like the best quarterback before
and
the
snap. Makes
the
numbers may not show it. He makes the throws when he needs to make
he
them.
He does. But
third and long, second and long, he makes those plays. He's smart. He doesn't turn it over. There's something to be said about a guy who's faced Alabama an awful lot like he has.
That's true.
So let's not sleep on Georgia.
We're talking a lot, though, about LSU dominating opponents. We need to talk about Ohio State because we have not spoken about them much at all on this podcast. And Ohio State is destroying teams. We mentioned that Wisconsin dominated Michigan. Ohio State put up 70. What'd they put up this week?
72.
76.
76. They were losing at the time.
And they were losing 5-0. They went on a 76-0 run. Who is number one in the Big Ten right now?
Who are you calling out? Me?
Yeah, who are you calling? Who are you calling out?
I'll call out myself.
Yeah, call out.
Ohio State is number one in the Big Ten right now. I was very low on them to start the year. I just didn't expect the offense to look the way that it does. I know that they're not playing great teams, but I just think that they really can score and they can really play defense. They can really, really play defense. I've never seen a Wisconsin team where I was really, I never really trust their offense. That could just be recency bias of watching Hornibrook just suck. And this is a totally different team. But I think that Ohio State is the team to beat in the Big Ten right now.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin. As we said, there's a new face under center, Jack Cohn. I also think the West of the Big Ten is more comparable to the East than it's been in a long time. With Iowa, Nebraska ain't bad, Minnesota, whatever. But I think it's Wisconsin. They've got that strong defense. Those are some big boys. They've got the best running back in the conference. I think Jack Cohn is a super underrated, super smart young quarterback. What's his name? Coach Christ? Dialing up the boys week in, week out. They took care of business against Michigan, and I did not think it would be like that. I mean, I knew they'd beat them, but I didn't think they'd spank them like that. And that's that's still a talented Michigan team. Ohio State, I mean, I know it was week one, but that defense always seems to let up a little bit. I mean, yeah, they score points, but they let up 21 to FAU. I'm just ready to see what they do against a decent team. They do have Nebraska coming up. Where is it, Lincoln?
I don't know, but that'll be an absolute rout. When are they playing a team that is not Nebraska?
Michigan State, which ain't bad, but that's at home.
Yeah, they have a lot of games at home this year.
But then it always picks up, and they got Wisco on October 26th at home. I mean,
that's a game.
That's a great game. Mark it down. I mean, I could see both of these teams being top five teams around Halloween. And where are we going to be for that?
Halloween? You beats me. I'll probably be in somewhere upstate, maybe about an hour drive.
Some old dungeon.
And you'll see some guy with like a little sign that says party to the right. You're like, let's not follow this drifter. And it turns out it's like this cool underground
We let Vic out. Party. Vic. We see Vic
you
like
find yourself
3 weeks
on the
later.
Side of a highway at 7:30 a.m. Looking for just a bacon, egg, and cheese and a cup of coffee. But look, and you know, not everybody's Halloween like can
Dixie.
End like that.
All you have is like a Dixie cup. Hey.
You know, I'm sort of with you on Wisconsin. And what really did it was the way they handled business in the first half against Michigan. Look, I would have loved for them to hold on for the score to reflect that. And, you know, it's funny. We keep saying, like, when's Ohio State's next big test? That's sort of what's doing it for me. Until I see them in test mode. Look, they went to Indiana. Could have been a trap game. They handled their business there 2 weeks ago. Miami of Ohio, you know, that's a snooze fest. You know, Wisconsin did that with, who are our boys? Central Michigan,
Chippewas. Who actually gave my boys
a
little fight.
They did. Don't sleep on those Chippewas. But right now, to me, it is Wisconsin. This win last week, I think, catapults them. I know the rankings show that Ohio State's 5 now and Wisconsin is 8. But for me, it is far and away Wisconsin, the number one team. You establish that run. I don't know who's stopping them.
Yeah.
You mentioned Ohio State at 5. Let's go through. There's a brand new top 25 ranking. Let's go through and each pick our top 5 just to look at the full picture here. The top 10 now
Johnny, thanks for getting us these rankings so quickly. I mean, shit, that was a quick turnaround.
No, it was great. They're about an hour old.
I mean, the staff is really working hard here at the Schwitz, and you got to get clap
great,
it up.
Great
thank
work
you guys.
On the floor.
Yeah,
everybody's
you
just doing it right.
You and you, not you.
You're welcome. Clemson overtook Alabama. Yeah. So let's start with that. Clemson.
No, I think they've been one the whole time.
Cool. Well, I got to stop smoking.
Actually, in the right side, you could actually
see where they were exactly. Yeah. Yep. All right, great.
Yep.
Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Auburn, Wisconsin, Florida, Notre Dame.
Nice.
That's your
that's
top
got
10.
A little ring to it. It does. Are we doing top 5, top 10?
Top 5. Top 5.
And then we'll
and
do
then,
the whole who's
and then
stinks,
and then one
who's
and then
better.
One that should go down, one that should go up.
Okay.
You want to begin? Lead
sure.
us off.
Sure. I'm going to go Clemson, Bama. I like this LSU team a lot. I'm going to go LSU, Georgia 4, and I think I got to go Wisco 5. I think that was such a big win. They haven't missed a beat. I like Wisco at 5.
I give the nod to Nick Saban and the boys. Number one, they just have, you know, they're doing Alabama-like things. Look, Clemson's sort of doing, you know, their thing. There's no reason to not give Clemson. I would almost love to say a 1A, 1B situation, but we're not playing that game. So I got Bama 1, I got Clemson 2. I have Georgia 3 because I think Notre Dame was highly underrated. Look, we'll wait to see how good of a win that will look. A 6-point win? 6-point win. So let's see how Notre Dame plays. But for me, that sort of did it. I'm going to have LSU at 4, and then by God, I'm putting 4 SEC teams in the top 5. Auburn. I've been saying it since before the kickoff in week 0. This Auburn team, Gus Malzahn, always has the schemes right. I got Auburn coming in at 5, and wow. I mean, just the fact that there's already 4 SEC teams in the top 10 should have everybody scared and be put on notice.
There's another one right there, too, Florida.
Oh, my goodness. So there's 5 in the top. Yeah. Holy crap.
It's unbelievable.
It's serious.
Oh, my God.
So all of it, I'm going to name my top five, but all of a sudden, just because Oklahoma has a week off, everybody completely forgets about Oklahoma.
Recency bias.
But one has to be Clemson. Their defense looks amazing. Their offense looks amazing. Two, Alabama. Three, LSU. Four, Oklahoma. Oklahoma held a UCLA team to 14 points.
Ooh, that's a dangerous
now
UCLA.
Now all of a sudden UCLA.
They can score. Hey, Chip Kelly and the boys, they can score. It's a good defense. They're still on the road. I'm not saying it's an amazing win, but it's a good win.
It's looking great right now.
And five to round it out would be Georgia. Georgia, Georgia did not impress me that much in that win over Notre Dame, so I would move them down, which goes into our next question, but that's not going to be it. Don't try and cheat me out of it. Who would you move down and who would you move up?
Throughout the whole rankings? Through the whole top 25?
The whole top 25. One and one.
I mean, I think you, I mean, I just sort of alluded to it, but I'll move back a bit. You know, I think I'm just going to stick with it. I don't understand why Auburn is at seven. You win that neutral site game against Oregon. You've beaten Texas A&M on the road. You've handled teams. I think you can really make the case that they're at five the way I have them now. The resume speaks for itself. That's really who I'd put forward. Someone I would move back.
Which, no offense, is what he asked.
No. I know. And, you know, it's crazy that Michigan just went from 13 to 20 and Utah just went from 11 to 19, but
we're really getting inside your brain.
You know, I mean, you got to give us a fucking answer.
You know who it is? I would move back. You know what? I don't even know who. I would move back Notre Dame a little. I think just because you lose by six to Georgia, it doesn't mean necessarily out. Texas did look a little better. Penn State's undefeated. Oregon looks great. You know, maybe you can make the case Notre Dame's sort of in the middle of that top 15, 13, 14.
God damn, what the fuck are you doing?
Look, it was a tough decision. I had a lot on the line. I got a gun to my head. What the hell's going on out here?
I'm
going
to make it quick. I do have a couple teams. I did have Notre Dame to be pushed back, but Vic took that one.
Well, he took all of them.
Yeah, you really did. I mean, there's nothing left.
Fine. Say Notre Dame, Texas. Okay. It could be Oregon, Iowa, California.
I mean, I know they're sitting at 20, but I still think there's no reason Michigan is ranked. They slipped by Army by the skin of their teeth. They weren't impressive against Middle Tennessee State. I mean, I fucking hate this team. I got to be honest. They should be bumped back. And they got absolutely slammed, murdered, and rocked by this Wisconsin
and
team.
And pillaged.
A team that I'd like to move up, though, I'm just going to jump on that quickly. Two teams. I like Virginia. The Cavaliers are really nice. Strong defense. That quarterback, they run the ball really well. Forgot his name, but they're good. They also have Bronco Mendenhall as the coach. Really fine coach down there. But
the Bronco Mendenhall era.
USC, huge win over Utah at home. I'm excited for the road ahead for them because I actually think they're really good this year and a team to watch out in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and they're on their backup quarterback.
So,
right
Ben,
now.
We took all 25 teams, but pick one.
No, you didn't.
Good. Ducks.
This will say it. It'll be on my gravestone.
Go, Ducks.
Oregon Ducks. Move them up. 13.
You got it to the O when you do it,
though. The one loss, if you put them against other one-loss teams, they look there. Who did Texas lose to?
LSU.
Okay, so that's a good one. And I guess Notre Dame lost to
Georgia. Look, they're getting the respect. I hear you. But they are getting the respect.
Penn State's schedule has been really weak.
They should be ahead
there's
of Notre
There's no
Dame.
McSorley and there's no Saquon Barkley. This isn't same Penn State.
They should be ahead of Notre Dame also because they haven't had a bye yet.
Also because Notre Dame shouldn't even be in college football because 100%. They don't play the rules. I will move Oregon up. And who I'm moving down, Jack, I'm happy that you said that you're moving them up because I'm moving them down. Virginia.
Oh.
I am moving Virginia down. I've watched almost every Virginia Cavaliers game this season.
And we caught the end of this past weekend.
Yes, we did. Bryce Perkins is his name, and he is a fantastic quarterback. Don't get me wrong.
Doesn't really
does Deshaun Watson like things. Yeah. He can really move.
Deshaun Watson comparisons.
Going to be a great
NFL scouts, look out.
Yeah, he's going to be a great option quarterback, and I think he will be an NFL quarterback. They almost got upset by Old Dominion, and I got to tell you, you can say whatever you want about
Old
Dominion.
They were down big.
If you're a huge Old Dominion fan, that's fine with me. Old Dominion's defensive line absolutely murdered Virginia's O-line.
Well, you know who's going to take care of that Virginia O-line in a couple weeks.
Ooh. Yeah,
my
good luck.
Miami.
My boys.
Yeah, credit's old to me. And always known for that team that wins the, what is it, Conference USA. I never know where they always squeak into the March Madness.
Conference USA.
Conference
like,
USA.
We don't know the conference.
Or it might be Atlantic 10.
Either way,
they're always known as that team that squeezes in March Madness time. Never hear them in football. And Ben is right. They gave them a test yesterday.
But I will say what was impressive is that they were down big and they came all the way back. I think there's something to be said for that when you dial in.
Resilience
factor. You get Bryce Perkins running the option. And
they were a 28-point underdog and it's Old Dominion. If they didn't come back, then they should really just off themselves.
Well, then they wouldn't be top 25.
That's about it. But moving into next week, let's pick a couple of games here. Penn State at Maryland. Penn State is a 7.5-point favorite, excuse me. One of us take this. Who wants it?
Screw it. Everyone's got to do it. We'll dial back the comments.
Fine. Fine. I'm looking at you.
Friday Night Lights, College Park. Let's go Terps, baby.
Wow, love it.
I'm going the Terps, too. This team could play some offense. I like it. I'm not totally sold on Penn State just yet.
I'm going Penn State because Temple shut down Maryland. I think Penn State can do that, too. Number one, Clemson, minus 28.5 at North Carolina.
North Carolina, really tough place to play. Mac Brown has these guys at 2-2. I think this is the big statement game, though, for Trevor Lawrence. 28.5 is a lot of points, but I think this is where he really makes that statement. But the Tar Heels have been kind of impressive, but a two-game slide.
They have, but you know this is when you separate the men from the boys. Clemson, Dabo Swinney, he's like, guys, let's start playing like we're the number one team in the country. Clemson minus 28.5.
Clemson minus 28.5. They seem to get a pick six every single time I turn on the TV. So even if Lawrence can only get four of them, maybe the defense.
By the way, he only threw for like 90 yards. I don't know what the hell.
The defense doesn't have to do anything.
The defense is just.
I know, but it was like, I thought like he broke his neck or something.
The
like.
Defense is on another planet. Number 21, USC at 17, Washington. Washington's a 9.5-point favorite.
This is such a good game. I think USC covers, though. Last week was a huge win against Utah. I like USC with the points.
Yeah, this is sort of tough. I almost would want to see USC at home because I feel like this would be like a 3.5 game, make things more exciting. I just haven't seen the consistency yet from USC. Look, you're on your backup quarterback. His name is blanking me for the life of me. But I just think the Washington Huskies defense, as good as it's always been, I think they will cover that 9.5.
Fade USC. I get it. They beat some good teams at home. Utah was a good team at home.
But
there's something to be said for being at home, going into Washington. I think they lose by two scores. Number 18, Virginia at number 10, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 10.5-point favorite.
Now I don't know what to think about Virginia because last week, but I will say Virginia, I think, plays a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, plus 10.5. But Notre Dame on the other side, they're going to be fumed up about last week. However, I do think 10.5, I just don't like that. I don't like that double digit.
I like Virginia plus 10.5 too. They take care of the ball. They grind it out. They're a grinder.
Nice.
I think grind it out grinders, Gruden grinders. I think Notre Dame's seeking revenge for this past week, and it's going to be a raucous crowd, but I just don't think they score enough to.
Yeah, I think low scoring.
Yeah, low scoring, and I think it's a bit of an ugly one, but I think Notre Dame takes care of business.
Did you guys not see Old Dominion go up 17-0 in the first quarter on the Virginia Cavaliers?
That Old Dominion is known to be an
unbelievable offensive
first team.
I think that Notre Dame is pissed that they couldn't do anything on offense this past week, and I think they cover the 10.5. Washington State at Utah, number 19, Utah. Utah is a 6.5-point favorite, both coming off devastating losses. I'll take this one. I think that type of game, losing to UCLA like that, is a season crusher. I think that you really can't come back from that. Utah was at least in USC. They barely lost. They put up a good fight. I think Utah will bounce back and cover 6.5 points.
I agree. This Utah defense is like one of the best in the country. As you said, that was just a tough loss in USC. Washington State lost to a really bad UCLA team. Unless Anthony Gordon goes out there and gives me 9 scores, I like Utah and covering.
Yeah, I 100% think there's going to be sort of a collapse hangover on the side of Wazoo and the Cougars. I don't think they're going to be ready for this one. This will be their wake-up call. And look, Washington State, they had to really win every game if they want to be in contention that Pac-12 title. I think they go into Utah. The Utes take care of business in Salt Lake City by 6.5.
Wrapping this up, this was not on the original card. I added it last minute because I think it's a really interesting game. Rutgers at number 20, Michigan. Michigan is a 28-point favorite. Do we see Michigan bouncing back? Or I'm taking Rutgers with the points. I think that Michigan sucks. I think that you can't lay 28 points with a team that sucks. I don't care how much better the players are or are supposed to be on Michigan. Give me Rutgers with the points.
It was interesting because I was watching SportsCenter early Saturday, and it said, you know, they give the BPI percentage to win. I've never seen Rutgers have a 50% chance to win a game. I mean, they're always at like 3 or 11. 50%
chance to win what?
To beat Boston College.
Oh.
Sorry, last on Saturday.
Michigan.
No,
like,
no.
Wow.
And I've never seen that, and they only lost by 2 scores against Boston College. I was very impressed. Then again, they're going into the Big House. Rutgers seems to be the Big Ten fuck doll. They just get passed around and just fucked by every team in the conference. I actually like Michigan coming out fiery. I think Harbaugh finds the right shade of khakis, and this team turns it around.
Yeah, as much as we want to say, you know, Jim Harbaugh, show us something. If Shea Patterson ever wants to leave Ann Arbor in one piece, this is his time to do it. I don't know what's going to... If this is another one of those games, like the Army game, or even Middle Tennessee State, they're going to face some serious issues. I say you take Michigan minus 28. They may win by 56. Double it.
Before we move on to a different sport, can I give 2 honorable mentions because I cannot believe we didn't discuss it?
Absolutely.
Shout out to Appalachian State for taking down North Carolina, and shout out to the Pittsburgh, what is it, Cougars?
Oh, yeah.
For taking
Pittsburgh
down UCF.
Pittsburgh
Panthers, thank you very much. I mean, we just totally whiffed on that for ending the 26-game winning streak, I think it was, for UCF. You're not the national champs anymore. Get down from your high horse. Miami's the best team in the state.
Cool. That was a hot take and a bad one. That was a crazy game, though. I can't believe that Pittsburgh pulled that off.
And had everything. And UCF came storming
back.
By the
way, did you see how it happened? It was
yes.
The Pittsburgh special.
The Pittsburgh
yes.
special.
Kenny Pickett.
Unbelievable.
Went to school with my brother, with Ross.
Really?
Yeah, they were the same grade.
Wow. Really went in different directions.
A little bit. One's a tennis guru. The other's a football guy.
A football guy. We got to talk about baseball.
Let's make it quick.
Middle of September. Almost it, thank God, October baseball, meaningful baseball, 162 games. Not everyone can be meaningful. All of these really, really mean something. Kimbrel and the Cubs have been crumbling. The pen for the Cubs just looks awful. Finally, I think that they won a game today, if I'm right. The Cubs did... Oh, no. Oh, my God, they ended up losing.
Six
the
straight.
The Chicago Cubs
have lost six straight.
Are completely collapsing. The Brewers can't lose.
And it's always by one run they keep losing by. Like, real sad,
I think it's
knife-turning
the fourth,
fashion.
Yeah, I think it's the fourth straight game they've lost by one run.
And all of a sudden, it seems like, unfortunately, the Mets' right. dreams of making the playoffs are coming to an end. Because
they still mathematically have a shot?
Yes, absolutely. But the problem is that they will need Washington to collapse down the stretch. They did collapse today. They were winning, and the Marlins scored 4 runs in the bottom of the sixth.
That's a dangerous Marlins team down south.
Yeah. And beat them, but it's looking like Washington and Milwaukee has a stranglehold.
With so few games left, it's so hard to really rally. And, you know, if I thought the Mets were running out of gas last week, I think the tank's basically empty at this point. But look, they keep wowing us, and they keep winning. Definitely something positive for the Mets to take away this season. I don't think this should be deemed as a failure. Nobody even saw them pulling this off. So hats off to the Mets. Look, if you somehow do it, you know you'll have this town rocking. So God bless you. But there's another team that I'm looking for, baby. That's the New York Yankees bombing it away. Look, still got a shot to get that top home field advantage. I was going to say top seed.
I, like
I always
that.
Forget
I like that.
That baseball is 4 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yanks, squeeze off a couple wins, pray for some Astros losses. You just got to have that home field. I can't stress it enough.
You need the home field because Brett Gardner has come up so clutch this year. I think he has high 20s home runs, not known as a serious power threat. And that guy is just bombing homers to right in Yankee Stadium, short porch.
Stanton's back hitting home runs.
And you see who he's tapping?
Who?
That chick, Jesus. Carter Jesus.
Carter Jesus.
Some Instagram.
I got to add. Got to add her to my list.
Sick, man.
Sicko.
Everybody's got their list. What the hell are you two talking about?
Talking about.
No lists here.
It's a bit of a tough stretch, though, for the Yankees ahead. So I mean, in Tampa, in Texas.
Oh, yeah. The Yankees have officially had their last home game. Learn what it's like on the road, because you're not going to like it if you can't pull off those wins.
It's a bit of a tough stretch for Tampa, and I'm happy that you brought that up, because Tampa is jockeying for a wild card spot.
It's Cleveland, right?
It's Oakland, Tampa, Cleveland. Tampa just ran into a Boston Red Sox team motivated to not let a division rival make the playoffs. They lost today. Cleveland and Tampa are separated by a half a game. Who do we think ends up making that second wild card spot with Oakland?
I'm going to stick to my guns on this. I think the Rays do pull it out. I'm actually pulling for some AL East action. I want the AL East well represented in these playoffs. And, you know, Indians have just been battling so hard with the Twins. But I think it really just, it's over for them. Cleveland, hats off to you. You made some trades. Not going to work out this year.
The Yankees would be playing the wild card team, correct?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, if they get the top seed.
If they get the top seed.
Right.
So, hopefully they get the top seed. But I want nothing to do with the Cleveland Indians. Nothing. I would much prefer to play the Rays.
Even though we've had good success in recent years.
Yeah, there's just something in my head. I have an image of Jabba Chamberlain being eaten by flies in Cleveland.
I never forget that. I do not
want to go to Cleveland.
I remember where I was.
Fausto Carmona was the pitcher that night.
Ugh, and
whatever happened to that guy?
Whatever happened to Jabba? He went to Detroit and just all of a sudden.
Maybe they started like a, we were cool pitchers once, people knew us.
He's on a ranch
but now
somewhere.
We're out club.
Don't you worry, he signed a big deal.
Doing peyote or not doing peyote?
You don't smoke peyote.
Well, that's for damn certain.
Well, on that note, that's our show, folks. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, I'm Ben at Boy With No Job.
I'm Vic at V Web.
And I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
You can follow us at The Schwitz on Instagram. Please join our private Facebook group. It's called The Schwitzers. Really fun. We debate a bunch of shit in there. We talk about some stuff that's ongoing and coming up, but I can't mention that here because it's private information. You're going to have to get in there.
Confidential.
You're going to have to get in that group to learn more about that. As always, please remember to subscribe to our podcast. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much.
Can I just chime in? Rate, review, subscribe. That's our rate, review, subscribe.
Yep.
I know you're trying to tell them what subscribe means. Rate, review, subscribe.
No,
does that sound?
Totally. Everybody that's an active listener should already be subscribed, rating, and reviewing. So I'm saying if you happen to stumble upon our podcast, now would be a great time to click subscribe, rate it.
Join in for the long haul.
And review it.
It's only uphill from here.
Thanks so much.